A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious, Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty wild.
We definitely are. We're looking at data and surrealism.
Two movements that just exploded onto the scene and will really change things. And we're using David Hopkins's fantastic survey, Data and Surrealism, as our guide.
Yeah, and it's key to understand. This isn't just, you know, art history for its own sake. Hopkins frames these as huge cultural responses, almost like philosophical revolutions.
Revolutions against what, though?
Against the absolute horror and disillusionment of World War I. I mean, think about it. That war just shattered the belief in progress, in reason, in the whole Enlightenment project.
Right. It was a total crisis of faith in, well, civilization itself.
Yeah.
And the question became, if logic led there to that kind of industrial-scale slaughter, what on earth could art even do? How could it possibly respond?
Exactly. And that's kind of our mission today, right? To unpack Hopkins's big idea that these two movements, Dada and Surrealism, often seen as just like anti-art and weird dream stuff, are actually deeply connected. They form this continuum, a necessary 1-2 punch aimed at, well, total human liberation,
right,
both for society and, you know, inside our own heads.
Okay, so let's talk about our guide here, David Hopkins. Who is he?
He's a professor of art history at the University of Glasgow, a real expert in the 20th century avant-garde.
And he has a particular angle, doesn't he? Something about Duchamp.
Yes, exactly. His deep knowledge of Marcel Duchamp is crucial. Hopkins really positions Duchamp as this this critical bridge figure.
Connecting Dada and surrealism conceptually.
Precisely. Duchamp wasn't just in Dada. His ideas sort of paved the way for what surrealism would become. Hopkins uses him like a lens to see how these movements flow together.
Though it's not just a list of artists and dates.
Not at all. He weaves together all these complex threads. You've got Freud's ideas about the unconscious, Marx's call for social change, the whole political backdrop.
And he connects it all geographically too. Zurich, Paris, New York.
Yeah, and because he's writing now, looking back from the 21st century, he can really trace the long-term impact. He shows how these like radical ideas from a century ago are still echoing today.
In ways we might not even realize.
Absolutely. Think conceptual art, advertising psychology, even some therapy techniques. Hopkins gives us that crucial historical distance to see just how revolutionary they were.
Okay, so let's nail down this central thesis from Hopkins. He said it's about a continuum.
Right. The big takeaway is don't think of data and surrealism as two separate things that just happen one after the other. Think of them as two phases of one larger project.
A project with two distinct stages.
Kind of. Dada comes first, exploding out of the Cabaret Voltaire in Zurich around 1916. It's the pure negation. It's angry, anarchic, nihilistic even.
It's about tearing down the old world.
No.
Destroying the faith and reason that they felt led to the war.
Exactly. It embraced nonsense, chance, absurdity. It was deliberately shocking, meant to provoke the bourgeois society they blamed. It's the demolition crew.
Okay, so Dada clears the ground, then what?
Then comes surrealism, really taking shape in Paris in the 1920s, led by André Breton. Surrealism takes all that chaotic, anti-rational energy from Dada.
And gives it a system, a direction.
Yeah, you could say that. It channels it. Breton was fascinated by Freud, by psychoanalysis, so surrealism turns inward. It uses that attack on reason to try and liberate the unconscious mind.
Aiming for that surreality, that higher reality where dreams and waking life could merge.
Precisely. So Dada destroys the old reality or the faith in it. Surrealism tries to construct a new, more complete one by tapping into the unconscious.
And Hopkins traces this whole journey, geographically, intellectually.
Showing how their influence spreads far beyond just paintings in a gallery. It really reshaped how we think about creativity, psychology, even politics. They wanted to change everything by insisting that what's inside our heads is, in a way, more real than what's outside.
Let's dig into that a bit more. Starting with Dada, the art of saying no. Zurich, Cabaret Voltaire.
Ah.
It sounds like a pressure cooker.
It really was. You had all these artists and writers fleeing the war, crammed into neutral Switzerland. They were disgusted, disillusioned.
And their art reflected that disgust.
Totally. Irrationality, chance, nonsense. These were their tools. Think of Hugo Ball doing his sound poems, just guttural sounds, no recognizable words.
Why? Just to be weird.
It was deeper than that, I think. They saw conventional language as corrupted, used for propaganda, for nationalism, for the very things that caused the war. So the impulse was destroy language itself, find something more fundamental, more honest, even if it sounded like gibberish. It was anti-art as an ethical protest.
Okay, but then you have Duchamp over in New York.
Yeah.
He was part of Dada, but his approach seems cooler, more conceptual, less noisy than Zurich.
That's a really important point. Duchamp wasn't about the messy, emotional, performance-based chaos of European Dada so much. His revolution was quieter, but maybe even more profound. It was all about the idea.
You mean the ready-made?
Exactly. Taking an ordinary, mass-produced object, a bottle rack, a snow shovel, famously, a urinal signing it, and calling it art.
Fountain. Still shocking, really.
Absolutely, because it completely shifts the definition of art. It moves it away from skill, from aesthetics, from what Duchamp called retinal art, art that just pleases the eye.
It makes it about what? The choice?
It's concept,
the conceptual choice. The idea becomes the art. The artist isn't necessarily someone who makes beautiful things, but someone who makes you think differently about what art even is. That single gesture is the earthquake.
So Dada, through figures like Duchamp, establishes that art can just be an idea. How does Surrealism pick that up?
Well, the Surrealists in Paris, especially Breton, basically asked, okay, if art is about ideas, which ideas are the most important? And for Breton, steeped in Freud.
The answer was the unconscious.
Exactly. The hidden thoughts, the desires, the dreams. That's the territory Surrealism wanted to explore. Breton defined their core technique as pure psychic automatism.
Sounds technical. What does it mean?
It means trying to write or draw or paint without your conscious mind getting in the way, bypassing the rational sensor, you know, letting the unconscious speak directly, like automatic writing, just letting the pen go.
Yeah, or automatic drawing. They saw it almost like a scientific method to tap into a deeper, truer reality hidden within the self, the source of real creativity.
And visually, this led to quite different styles, didn't it?
Hugely different. You had artists like Jean Moreau, whose work looks quite abstract, very fluid, clearly drawing on that automatic impulse.
But then you also had the super realistic looking stuff, the things people often think of first with Surrealism.
Right. The illusionists, like Salvador Dali. He called his method the paranoiac critical method.
Which involved what? Driving himself a bit crazy?
Kind of. He'd deliberately induce a sort of semi-hallucinatory state to paint these incredibly detailed, hyper-realistic scenes, but the scenes themselves are totally impossible dreamscapes.
Melting clocks, bizarre creatures, vast empty spaces.
Exactly. He famously called them hand-painted dream photographs. He was making the internal world, the repressed stuff, visible and concrete on the canvas.
Then there's Magritte, René Magritte. His work feels different again. More philosophical.
Yeah, Magritte wasn't so much painting dreams as he was playing games with reality and representation. His work challenges our assumptions about images and words.
Like the famous pipe painting. Si ce n'est pas une pipe. This is not a pipe.
Right, which is literally true. It's a painting of a pipe, not a pipe you can smoke. He forces you to think about the gap between the thing, the image of the thing, and the word for the thing. Very clever, very unsettling.
Okay, so pulling all these threads together, Dada's negation, Duchamp's conceptual shift, Surrealism's dive into the unconscious. Hopkins argues this whole continuum leaves us with some really powerful, lasting messages.
Absolutely. Let's unpack maybe three key themes. The first one is pretty clear, the massive critique of rational civilization.
They saw where blind faith in logic and progress had led straight into the trenches of World War I.
Exactly. So the takeaway isn't necessarily to abandon reason entirely, but to recognize its limits. We have to acknowledge and maybe even embrace the irrational, the emotional, the intuitive parts of ourselves. Suppressing them is dangerous.
Right. Theme two.
The fusion of art and life. This was huge for them. They didn't want art to be stuck in galleries or just be something for rich people.
They wanted it to be part of everyday existence.
Yeah, more than that. Art was a way of living, an ethical stance almost. The goal was to infuse everyday life with poetry, with chance, with the marvelous, to break down that barrier between the studio and the street.
Make life itself a creative act.
That's the idea. And the third big theme follows from that, the unconscious as the true frontier.
Freud's big contribution.
Right. But they didn't see the unconscious just as, you know, a dark basement full of neuroses. They saw it as this vast, largely unexplored continent of creativity, truth, and potential.
So paying attention to your dreams, your intuition, those weird coincidences.
That wasn't just navel gazing. For the surrealists, that was a serious form of self-discovery, a way to access a deeper reality.
It's powerful stuff. And Hopkins includes some great quotes that really capture the spirit, doesn't he?
He does. They help boil down these complex ideas. For Dada's mission, he sums it up like this. The aim of Dada art and literature was to destroy the hoaxes of reason and to discover an unprejudiced truth. So it's destruction, yeah, but for the sake of honesty, tearing down lies.
I like that. And for surrealism, that dual goal.
Yeah, Breton's ambition was massive. Hopkins frames it as trying to unite two powerful calls. Marx's call to transform the world with Rimbaud's call to change life.
Wow. So political revolution and psychological revolution all at once.
That was the dream. And underpinning so much of it, especially the shift towards surrealism, is that Duchamp's insight, art is not what you see, but what you make others see.
Changing the game entirely. Art is communication, provocation, not just representation.
Exactly. It puts the onus on the idea and the viewer's response.
So if these were their strategies back then, how can we, you know, actually use these ideas today? What's the real life application?
Well, there are some surprisingly direct links. Take creative problem solving, that whole surrealist idea of automatism.
The automatic writing, letting the unconscious flow.
That's basically the grandparent of modern brainstorming techniques. Think about free writing, mind mapping, any technique designed to bypass your internal critic and just generate ideas without judgment.
So when you're stuck on a problem, the surrealist playbook says, loosen up, don't clamp down, let the weird ideas out.
Precisely. Surrender control to find novelty. And then there's the Dada spirit, that radical skepticism that feels incredibly relevant now, doesn't it?
For critical thinking in the modern era, absolutely.
Dada teaches you to question everything. Question authority, question institutions, deconstruct the messages you're constantly bombarded with.
Which is vital when you think about advertising, social media, political spin.
Yeah, it's a mindset tool for navigating a world saturated with attempts to persuade and manipulate you. Healthy skepticism as a survival skill.
And what about collaboration? You mentioned their techniques.
Right, the exquisite corpse game.
Yeah.
Where people add to a drawing or text in sequence without seeing the previous contribution.
Sounds like fun, but is it useful?
I think it's a fantastic model for workplace innovation, actually. It forces to let go of individual ego, build on unexpected inputs, and embrace collective creativity. It breaks down silos and encourages surprising results. Think about cross-functional teams trying to innovate. That playful, collaborative, slightly chaotic method can be really effective.
Interesting. Okay, final thoughts. What really stood out for you from this deep dive into Hopkins' work?
For me, it's the enduring, almost shocking power of the ready-made. How that one move by Duchamp placing a urinal in a gallery could so fundamentally and permanently alter the definition of art.
It proved that art isn't fixed, right? It's a conversation, a constantly evolving set of questions.
Exactly. It showed that the definition itself is up for grabs, not tied to some timeless tradition or specific skill. That's still radical. What about you?
I think what gets me is the sheer ambition of it all. The ultimate lesson, maybe. These weren't just artists messing around. They were deadly serious, responding to a world in crisis. They were trying to expand human consciousness, find new ways to live, new ways to understand reality, because the old ways had failed so catastrophically.
And the takeaway from that seriousness.
Yeah, real creativity, the kind that actually changes things, demands courage, the courage to question everything. Your most basic assumptions about what's real, what's valuable, who you are.
Embracing the chaos, the contradiction, the stuff that doesn't make neat sense.
Yeah, because that's where the breakthroughs happen, isn't it? Whether you're in art or science or business or just trying to live a more authentic life.
Yeah.
That willingness to question the foundations.
That Dada and surrealist spirit.
Is maybe the most potent tool they left us. It wasn't just about the art they made. It was about the questions they dared to ask.
Well said.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.